I hope we got some air turned on out there in the youth building. Glad we have all the kids. And let's shut these back doors because I think it'll cool off a lot better for the rest of us. Corey, if you could make that happen, if you can just close those, I'd appreciate it. We're going to speak this morning on the title, Heaven is for Real. Heaven is for Real. And I'll speak more about the clip that we just watched in just a moment. But turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 7. I'm going to skip our introduction that we usually do, so we can get right into the message. Matthew chapter 7, this particular time, people really have the afterlife and heaven and things like this in mind because of some things going on in our world. And so I'm going to speak this week and probably for the next one or two more weeks regarding heaven. And this morning we're going to talk about heaven is for real. If you'll look, please, in Matthew chapter 7, look at verses 13 and 14 in your Bibles, please. Jesus is speaking and says, "Enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many, notice that, many there be which go in thereat. But because strait is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." We're going to speak on the title, Heaven is for Real. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. I thank you for the fact that heaven is for real. It's not some imaginary fantasy place, but Lord, our loved ones who have believed and trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ are already there. And Father, we're looking for your soon return so that we can be with you also. And Lord, help us to look into your word and understand that heaven is a real place. And Lord, we need to be prepared for it. I pray if there's one here today that is not prepared, they don't know for certain, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that they would go to heaven when they die. I pray that they'll get that settled so that they can know that and have that peace. Father, be with us during this time together. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. Well, the interview you just watched was from the number one best-selling book in the nation right now, Heaven is for Real. I don't know if you've read this book or not. It's an easy read. I read it in a couple of hours. And the story is about a little boy who, on the operating table, had an out-of-body experience, an afterlife experience. Several of these books are popular right now. I've got three of them. I've got this. This one is called Heaven and the Afterlife. And Todd, you read a little bit of this. It's one I shared with you. This one here has actually been made into a movie. It's called The Boy Who Came Back from Heaven. Then there's also a couple of books which I do not have, but I have read. One of them is titled 90 Minutes in Heaven. Has anyone heard of that book? That was a bestseller, 90 Minutes in Heaven. And there was another one called 23 Minutes in Hell. These are very popular books. Now, let me preface by saying this, that we don't put our faith and trust in experiences, okay? When someone has apparently had a near-death experience, it's interesting stories, and possibly they have had that experience. But we've got to remember that the Bible says Satan can also transform himself into an angel of light. And so our salvation is not based on a near-death experience. Our salvation is based on our faith in Jesus Christ, all right? And I want us to understand that. But it is interesting to see these things that have taken place. There is a show on the Discovery Channel called I Survived Beyond and Back. So again, these things are popular right now. Now, heaven is the final destination of all believers, all right? And that's what we're going to talk about over the next couple of weeks. This time of year, in the spring and summer, we begin planning vacations, right? Maybe you've got a vacation plan to go to Florida or to California or maybe somewhere nicer, Hawaii or Cancun or something like that. But we all make plans. Let me tell you this. The greatest vacation that you could possibly imagine, heaven trumps it by a million times. You can't even come close to the glories of heaven. Number one, heaven is a priceless trip. Doesn't cost you anything. If you're going to go on vacation this summer, you better count the cost, amen? With gasoline nearly $4 a gallon and maybe going higher, you figure how much it's going to cost you. Heaven's a priceless trip. Number one, you can't buy it. The cost has already been paid. Jesus Christ paid the ultimate price with his life. So it's a priceless trip. Not only that, it's a one-way trip. See, when we go on vacation, we always have in the back of our mind, man, I got to go back to work next week. This vacation is going to be over, and I got to go back to work. Heaven's a one-way trip. You don't have to worry about that. Also, heaven is a flawless trip. Sometimes we build up a vacation in our mind, and we've got visions of how it's going to be. Has anyone gone on vacation, and it's not turned out near as wonderful as you thought that it might?
We all probably have experienced that. I'll tell you about a couple real quickly for us. One time we went down to Gulfport, Mississippi. Anybody been down there for vacation? We were going down there to the beach and had our plans and everything. But we made one big mistake, Dana. We didn't check the weather channel to see what the weather was going to be like. We drove 12 hours to Gulfport, Mississippi, only to find out that they closed all the beaches because they were under a hurricane advisory. So we just stayed the night in a motel and turn around and come back home the next week. Everything was planned to go to the beach. I think we stopped at a couple places in between. But, man, I thought, why didn't we check the weather report? But we didn't. Another time, we had went to Gatlinburg, Tennessee. Anybody been to Gatlinburg? Pigeon Forge. It's a beautiful area. Melissa's mom went with us at this time, and we didn't have the boys yet. We decided we would take a canoe trip down this river there in Gatlinburg, and it was one of these fast-flowing rivers. Up ahead of us, about from here to those folding doors, there was a branch that was sticking out over the river. And I said, make sure that you duck when we get ready to hit that limb. We got real close to it, and Melissa and her mom, instead of doing this, they went like this. And if you've ever been in a canoe, guess what happened? Out we went, right into that cold, fast-moving water. And what made it bad is Carolyn, Melissa's mom, can't swim. And she had taken her life jacket off as we were going down the river. And Melissa had hers on, thank the Lord, because what was happening is Melissa's mom was grabbing her and pulling her down like this, and I was trying to hold on to the boat. Because I thought, man, if I let go of this boat, we're going to be stuck out here in this river. Somebody may not come along till tomorrow. And so it was real rocky, and I'm trying to hold that, and the water's pulling me. And anyway, I almost sliced my toe off and ended up in the emergency room in Gatlinburg, Tennessee, and had about 10 stitches put in my toe. So the next couple of days while we're in Gatlinburg, my foot's all wrapped up and, you know, hardly able to get around. And that's the kind of place you got to do a lot of walking. And so that vacation was another one that just didn't go like we planned it. But heaven isn't that way. There's no flaws in going to heaven. You're not going to be disappointed, all right? Now, we want to look this morning. I'm going to answer three questions. Before I answer those questions, though, I want us to understand the Bible refers to three heavens, all right? Turn your Bibles to Genesis chapter 1, and let's look at the first two heavens that we see in Scripture. In Genesis chapter 1, we see the creation story, and we see the first heaven. The first heaven we call the atmospheric heaven. All right. The atmospheric heaven is the heaven that we see, where the birds fly, where the clouds are. That's the first heaven. In Genesis chapter 1, look at verse 6, if you would. The Bible says, and God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. And God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament, and it was so. And God called the firmament what? Heaven. So there's the first mention of heaven, and the evening and the morning were the second day. So the firmament, now that's a hard word for me to say. Firmament is the first heaven, all right? That's the atmospheric heaven. And then the second heaven is the planetary heaven. That's where the sun, the moon, and the stars are. Look in verse 14. This was the fourth day of creation. The Bible says, and God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. And let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. And it was so. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day. Who knows what that light is? That's the sun. And the lesser light to rule the night. That's what? That's the moon. He made the stars also. And God set them in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. So now we see the first two heavens. You got the first heaven is the atmospheric heaven. The second heaven is the planetary heaven. The third heaven is God's abode. That's where God is. That's where your loved ones are that are believers that have gone to heaven. They are in the third heaven. That is found in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, and we're going to look at that in just a moment. But I did want to share with you the first two heavens. And Scripture's full of verses about heaven. Here's some verses, and some of these are on the screen. Exodus 20, verse 22. God told Moses, I have talked to you from heaven. Deuteronomy 10 and 14 says, the heaven and the heaven of heavens is the Lord. Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 12 says that God has measured out heaven with the span. So we see all kinds of verses regarding heaven. And here's the questions I want to answer, all right? Number one, if you're taking notes, the first one is this, where is heaven?
Where is it? We were watching the Way of the Master series on Thursday night, and it's interesting to hear different people's ideas on where heaven is. Some people said they believe heaven is right here on earth. Well, if this is as good as it gets, guys, I'd say we're all in some trouble, right? Heaven's not here on earth. Heaven's in heaven. It's in the third heaven. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 12, and we get a description of heaven from the Apostle Paul. Where is heaven? 2 Corinthians chapter 12, and we'll begin in verse, actually I want to begin in verse 2. Now, Paul has an experience in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 that is a near-death experience. This probably happened, he says 14 years ago, this probably happened when Paul was stoned in Lystra 14 years prior. And the Bible said they thought they left him for dead. So Paul, either he died and the Lord raised him back to life, the Bible doesn't tell us that, or he had a near-death experience. But I want to notice what Paul says. Look at 2 Corinthians 12, verse 2. Paul says, I knew a man. By the way, he's speaking of himself. But he says, I knew a man because he doesn't want to take glory for it. He says, I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago. Whether in the body, I cannot tell, or whether out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. He doesn't know whether this was an out-of-body experience or what. Such a one was caught up to the what? Third heaven. So there's our third heaven, okay? He says he's caught up to it. Verse 3. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. How that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for a man to utter. Now, everybody look up here. The word paradise is synonymous to the word heaven. You'll see paradise used in Scripture, and it is interchangeable with heaven. Paradise means an enclosed garden, a beautiful garden. What comes to your mind when you think of that in the Bibles? The Garden of Eden was paradise, all right? And then, of course, man was kicked out of paradise. But it says that Paul was caught up into the third heaven. He was caught up into paradise. Now, what I'm going to give you this morning, I would say a great percentage has not heard this before, but it's in the Bible, all right? Heaven, not where God is, not God's abode, but heaven and paradise are the same place, and paradise has a past, a present, and a future. Heaven or paradise has a past, a present, and the future. Now, again, this is something maybe, unless you've studied your Bibles, that you've not heard before, but let's look at heaven's past. Heaven's past. We're going to look there first. Turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 16, a very familiar passage in the Bible, the rich man and Lazarus in Luke chapter 16. In Luke chapter 16, by the way, this is not a parable. Some people say, well, this was a parable of Jesus. No, this was a factual event because Jesus uses the name of Lazarus and uses the name of Abraham. This is an actual event. You've got a rich guy who's got all kinds of money and nice things, and you've got a poor guy named Lazarus. This is not the Lazarus Jesus raised from the dead, by the way, all right? So don't get confused. But this guy was a poor man. Now, let's pick it up in Luke 16, verse 19. We're talking about the past of paradise, all right? There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. You got two guys. One's very rich. He's got it made, has all kinds of food and clothes. This guy's a poor man, Lazarus. He lays at the gate, eats the crumbs, dogs lick his sores. All right, next verse, they both die. Look at verse 22. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. Abraham's bosom is another term for paradise or for heaven, all right? The rich man also died and was buried. Now notice where the rich man ends up. And in what? And in hell, a literal, factual place. In hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, rememberest that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. Now notice verse 26, and beside all this, between us and you there is a great gulf
fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Now, everybody look up here and let's explain the story. Here's what's interesting. In Luke chapter 16, the rich man dies and goes to Hades or hell. Lazarus dies and goes to paradise. But apparently, they can see each other. Apparently, this communication went on. And Abraham says there's a great gulf fixed. Now, here's what I'm telling you. And again, this is something maybe that you've not studied or heard before. Paradise, Abraham's bosom, before Christ's resurrection was in the same location or proximity as Hades or hell. Paradise and Hades. So picture one big place. Now, they weren't close enough to transfer from one place to the other, but they were in the same location. The Old Testament saints, Moses, Adam, Noah, the Old Testament believers went to this place called paradise, and it was in close proximity to hell. Now, when was paradise moved? Paradise was moved at Christ's resurrection. Go in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 27, and let's look at something there. Here's something interesting in the book of Matthew chapter 27. Did you know that more than one resurrection took place when Christ resurrected from the grave? There were several resurrections that took place. Again, this may be something that's new to you, haven't read or seen before. But I want you to notice Matthew 27 and verse 51. We're going to use our Bibles. I'm giving you several scriptures this morning to help point out the past, present, and future of heaven. Matthew 27, verse 51. Well, let's look at verse 50. Jesus, when he cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. Jesus was on the cross, gave up the ghost, and died. All right, verse 51. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake and the rocks rent. By the way, the veil separated man from the Holy of Holies. Now there is no veil. Jesus Christ escorts us or mediates between us and the Father. Now there's no veil, all right? Look at the next verse. And the graves were opened. Well, man, that had to be something kind of far out, huh? The graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose. By the way, they weren't taking naps. They were in the grave, they were dead. When you see that term slept, that's referring to believers, all right? Many which slept arose, look at verse 53, and came out of the graves after his resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared unto many. When Jesus Christ resurrected, many of the Old Testament saints, we don't know who they were, and we don't know how many, but many of them came up out of the graves and appeared unto many people. Now, what happened? And again, this may be completely new to some. When Jesus Christ died on the cross, did you know he descended to the lower parts of the earth? Jesus Christ actually went down, and Jesus Christ escorted those Old Testament saints from paradise up to the third heaven, and now they are with God the Father. Where are family members are? Let's go to Ephesians chapter 4, and I can prove that to you. Ephesians chapter 4. Again, this is kind of deep teaching for a Sunday morning, but I want us to understand that heaven's a real place. And I think until we understand that there's a past, present, and future, we can't quite grasp it. All right? Ephesians chapter 4, look at verse 7. It's page 1253 if you have a Scofield Bible. All right, here we go, Ephesians 4, 7. But unto every one of us, by the way, us as believers, all right, is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. This passage is about spiritual gifts. Now watch verse 8. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended means went up, now that he ascended or went up, what is it but that he also descended or went down first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens that he might fill all things. So everybody look up here. Here's what I'm telling you. Here's what the Bible teaches. And again, this is deep stuff if you've not studied it before. Paradise and Hades were in the same location where they could see each other. This rich man and Lazarus could see each other, but they couldn't transfer from one place to the other. When Jesus Christ died on the cross, he went down to the lower parts of the earth. He didn't go down there to suffer. He went down there to bring those Old Testament saints that were in paradise there up to the third heaven. All right? That's the past of paradise, the past of heaven. By the way, I believe also the Bible says in the book of Isaiah that hell hath enlarged itself. I think at that time, hell began to grow bigger and bigger. Because remember, Jesus says many find that way to destruction. Very few find the straight gate, the way to heaven. And we'll talk more about that in just a moment. But I want us to understand there's a past to paradise. Now paradise, what about the present? Right now, where are people who have passed away that are believers? They are in the third heaven in paradise with God. Now turn your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 1. I'm giving you quite a bit of teaching this morning to help understand, grasp more about heaven is what we're looking at. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 1. Right now, where is my brother John? John passed away. Where's my Aunt Smokey? Where's my Grandpa Jack? Where's your loved ones? They are in the third heaven in the presence of God. Paul said to be absent from the body is what? To be present with the Lord. They're with the Lord right now. 2 Corinthians 5, look at verse 1. For we know, right there tells us it's a definite thing, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, what is the earthly house it's speaking of? It's speaking of your body, your old flesh. This old flesh, remember we talked about the tabernacle a few weeks ago and I said that it was a temporary structure, like a tent? This old body is going to dissolve one day, all right? Keep looking there in verse 1. We have a building of God, a body, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. When you pass away and you've received the Lord Jesus Christ, your body will stay right here on this earth. But your soul and your spirit will go to heaven and you will receive a new body. And we'll talk more about that next week. I'm not going to get into that this morning. But I want you to understand, this old body will stay here. This old body gets old. In fact, look at the next verse. For in this we groan. In this what? In this body. Anybody do any groaning this week? Every time you try to get up some stairs or, you know, something, you're groaning, your back hurts. In this body we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. When you and I pass away, these old bodies are going to deteriorate and they're going to die. We've got a new body waiting for us in heaven, an eternal body. That's the present of heaven. It's eternal in the heavens, it tells us there in that scripture. Now let's look at the next thing, the future of heaven. Well, let me share this with you before I go on, because this is important. Go to Ephesians chapter 2. I do want to show you this. Ephesians chapter 2, speaking of present heaven. Now, this is really going to confuse some of you, but I'll try to keep it where we can understand it. Ephesians chapter 2. Did you know that spiritually speaking, now listen, spiritually speaking, you are as good in heaven right now. So I'll go to heaven one of these days when I die. Spiritually speaking, you're already there. Now, that's a far-out concept. You say, what? No, I'm not. I'm sitting at Waltonville Community Church. Yeah, your body is. But if you are saved, your spirit is already in heavenly places with Jesus Christ. I can prove that in Ephesians chapter 2. Look at verse 4. Ephesians 2, 4. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us. That word means made us alive, quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. Everybody look here. Did you know a resurrection has already taken place in your life? We're going to be celebrating Easter in a couple of weeks. We celebrate the resurrection of Christ. But you, if you're saved, you've already experienced the resurrection. Your spirit has been made alive, brought to life, by Jesus Christ. Now look at the next verse. And hath, do you agree with me that's present tense? That's not past tense. And hath made us, or raised us up together and made us sit. That's present. Sit together where? What's your Bible say? In heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Some people, again, they don't quite understand that. What are you saying? I'm saying this, that a believer's spirit, spiritually speaking, is already seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. By the way, that's why your salvation is secure in Jesus Christ. Because if it wasn't secure, you'd be sitting in heavenly places one day, and the next day you wouldn't be sitting in heavenly places, and you'd constantly be worried about it. When Jesus Christ puts you in heavenly places, you're there to stay. So you're secure in Jesus Christ. In spite of this old world, you're secure, and right now you're sitting in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Whether you understand that or not, that's a great thing to know. You don't have to wait for it. It's happened now. So we've seen the present heaven. Now let's look at the future of heaven. Go to 2 Peter chapter 3 in your Bibles. I'm cramming a lot of Bible study in this morning, but I think we can make it plain and we'll understand it. We've looked at the past of paradise. Paradise was in the same proximity as hell. Present heaven is in the third heaven with God, and spiritually speaking, we're there now. What about the future of heaven? The first two heavens that I mentioned, the atmospheric heaven and the planetary heaven, one day will be dissolved. Did you know that? They're all going to burn up. Look at 2 Peter 3, verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. By the way, when this was written, they didn't know anything about the elements. You know, you got the periodic table of elements. Peter didn't know that, but yet he the Holy Spirit revealed and said the elements are going to melt away with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God? By the way, we all ought to be looking for the Lord to come. He's it's right there. Boy, if you watch your news and read your newspaper, the coming of the Lord is so close, it's so near. We ought to be looking for it. Wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. And then in Revelation 21, which I'm not going to read, I'm going to share this with you next week. Revelation 21 and 22, we read about the new heaven and new earth and the new Jerusalem. And the new Jerusalem is where we get the gates of pearl and the streets of gold and all those things. We're going to look at that next week. But what I do want you to see is that one day, everything in this earth, this earth is under a curse. I don't know if you know that or not, but this earth is cursed. When Adam fell and committed sin, it plunged all of humanity, all of creation, into chaos, into a curse. This universe is cursed. They will never find life on other planets. Why? Because it's cursed. This universe is cursed. One day, though, it's going to all be burned up, and there will be a new heaven and a new earth. Let me share two more things with you, and I can do this real quick. I've shared with you where heaven is. Two more questions. Number two, is heaven our default destination? If you have a cell phone, I want you to get it out. Get your cell phone out if you've got it, all right? Is heaven our default destination? If you have your phone, then this illustration, this is the second time this happened. I got to tell you about this. I preached this message this morning in Mount Vernon, and when I held my phone up, I got a text, and it was Mark. Yeah, I had texted him yesterday to see about borrowing his truck, and he texted me. I mean, right when I raised the phone up, and now my mom's on there texting. Oh, let's see what she wants here. Oh, okay. That's interesting. Okay, you got your phone. When you first get your cell phone, you have a default setting for the ringtone. All right? It is set on whatever the factory set it on. I keep mine on vibrate all the time because I'm either preaching or I'm in a class, and so I can't remember half the time whether to put it on ring or vibrate, so I just leave mine on vibrate. But, you know, people will put their favorite song on there, or they'll have a favorite something or other. If you don't put your song on there or something, your default setting is whatever this was set on at the factory, right? Same thing with your TV, with your computer, you have default setting. A default is a preset setting. Now, here's what I'm getting at. The question is this, is heaven our default destination? And the answer is no. I shared this Thursday night. There was a recent survey done, and out of 120 people, 119 believe they're going to heaven. Out of 120 people, only one says they admit they're going to hell. And the guys that was here, what was the number one reason most people think they're going to heaven? I'm a good person. You ask most people, are you going to heaven? Yeah, because I'm a good person. But then when you get into, well, have you ever told a lie? Yeah, sure, I've told a lie. Have you ever stolen? Yeah, I've stolen. So you're a lying thief is what you're telling me. All of a sudden, you're kind of hit with it. And that's the truth. You know, we gauge our goodness to somebody else. But, you know, when you actually look at it, we're not as good as we think we are. But most people think that's where we're going. But the text that we read in Matthew chapter 7, Jesus said, broad is the way to destruction. And how many did he say find that way? Many. Many find that way. But then he said the straight gate, how many find it? Very few. The point is this. The majority of humanity, and this isn't popular preaching, but I wouldn't be a good preacher if I didn't tell you this. The majority of humanity is heading for hell. That's where the majority of humanity is going. The default destination for mankind is hell. You don't have to make a choice to go to hell. You don't have to make a choice. We're automatically set on going that direction. Why? Because the Bible says, as by one man, Adam, sin entered into the world. So we've all sinned. We all have sin in our nature, in our blood, in our gene pool. And unless we make the choice that we're going to receive the Lord Jesus Christ, our destination from the time we're born is we're heading for hell. Until we make the choice, I'm going to receive Jesus Christ as my Savior. So no, heaven is not the default destination. A lot of people think that. A lot of people think everybody's going. No, the Bible doesn't teach that. Only those who receive Jesus Christ. Now here's the last thing I want to share with you, and I'm done. Who's going? Who's going to heaven? If none of us are good enough, who's going? Turn your Bibles to John chapter 14. Be the last thing that I show you. And I'll use this as an illustration. John chapter 14. Let's say you've got a good friend. And your friend, you've known for a while, says, I want you to come over and have dinner at my house. But you don't know where the friend lives. All right? You work with them maybe and everything, but you don't really know where their house is. And your friend says, follow me and I'll show you where my house is. And you say, no, that's all right. I can find it myself. I'm a pretty good guy. I'm a good guy, and since I'm a good guy, I can find your house by myself. Now, that doesn't even make sense. But you see the illustration? I've got plenty of money in my pocket, so I don't need you to tell me where your house is. I'll find it because I've got money. Or I've done some good things. No, how are you going to find your way to that friend's house? How are you going to do it? The friend's got to say, come here, I'll show you where my house is. I'll make a map here. I'll show you. Now, let's look at John 14, and we'll tie it all together. In John chapter 14, Jesus starts out there, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. Right now, Jesus Christ is in the third heaven, preparing mansions for those who've trusted in him. All right? Verse 3. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Jesus promises he's coming again. And anywhere Jesus is, that's where we are going to be. Whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Now, in verse 5, you've got doubting Thomas speaks up. But he asks a good question. Look at verse 5. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Just like that friend that says, come to my house. He said, I don't know how to get there. How do I get to your house? Jesus answers it in the next verse. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. What's he mean? If you want to get to the Father, if you want to go to heaven, you don't get there by being good. You don't get there by giving your money to the poor, the United Way, or whatever. You've got to know the way. By the way is not religion. It's not religious performance. Going to church on Sunday morning is not the way. Giving your tithes and offerings are not the way. Being good to your neighbor is not the way. What is the way according to Jesus? He is the way. The way is in a person. It's not in an activity. It's not in something we do. It's someone we know. Thomas says, how can I know the way? Jesus says, I'm the way. You want to come to my house? I'm inviting you over to my house. If you don't know where I live, come on, I'll take you. I'll take you to my house. but you got to know the way. Now, that's a simple concept, yet millions and millions of people miss it because they think they can find their way to the Father's house by all these other means other than knowing the way of Jesus Christ. So the conclusion of the message is this. I've shared these things with you, and we'll get a little more in depth next week. First of all, we see that paradise, or heaven, has a past, present, and a future. Paradise right now is in the third heaven with God the Father. That's where our loved ones are at. That's where Jesus is at. Number two, heaven is not our default destination. Not everybody's heading for heaven. The majority are heading for the way of destruction, which is hell. We must choose heaven. And the third thing is this, how do we get there? Who goes? And it's by knowing the way. The way is Jesus Christ. The way is not your religion. It's not in taking communion. It's not in baptism. It's not in anything else. You must know the way. And the way is Jesus Christ. Amen? Every head bowed, every eye closed. Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, I pray that we've made it clear this morning that heaven is for real. This little boy, his experience, Lord, we can't really base our faith in that. But Lord, our faith and trust must be in the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, whether we understand all the past, present, and future of heaven isn't near as important as knowing that we're going there. And Father, we've tried to make it as clear as possible that the only way to go there, to be with you and to be with God the Father and to be with our loved ones who have already passed away, the only way to do that is by knowing you as our personal Savior. And Father, I pray that everyone here has done that. If there's one here that hasn't done that, Lord, I just pray that they understand you love them and you sent your Son. But Lord, time's drawing near. We can't keep putting it off day after day and week after week and think we're going to be okay. We're not promised our next breath. So, Father, I pray that if there's one that's teetering on that decision, Lord, convict them. And I mean, don't let them rest until they get that settled and know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you are their personal Savior. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Would you stand, please? We'll have a verse of invitation. The preacher's right here. All you got to do is come. You say, well, I don't quite understand it. Come and see me. I'd be more than happy to explain to you what it means to know the way. Listen. We just read where everything's going to be dissolved in this earth, right? So your cars, your home, and all that stuff, it's temporary. The only thing that's going to last is what you've done with Jesus Christ. Be sure you get that settled. Be sure it's taken care of. This is the time to do it. As Mallory plays for us, what are you playing, Mallory? Jesus paid it all. We invite you to come on this verse of invitation. Jesus paid it all. I hear the Savior say, thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray, find in me thine all in all. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow. Everybody look up here if you would, please. I thank you so much for your attention. Everybody was very attentive, and I pray that you got something out of the message. Let me again encourage you, if you can at all, come Thursday night and just get a little extra boost on learning about sharing your faith. One of the hardest things to do for Christians is to tell other people about Jesus because you don't want to offend somebody. You don't want to sound like you're, you know, all super spiritual, but we're called to do it. And so the point is to try and equip us to be able to do that, all right? But I thank you all so much for coming this morning. Who's got a prayer request would like the church to remember? I see Faith is asleep. Is she doing okay? She has been running a fever and has had pneumonia and just had a rough time for the last several weeks. So we need to keep little baby Faith walk in our prayers. Someone else have a request you'd like the church to remember. Brother Paul, Sister May, are you guys doing okay now? Back among the living. All right. Good deal. Paul, you had your hand up? I'm sorry? Hey, man, I didn't know that you were. Is that right? Wow. Could you hear that? She was given 6 weeks to live. 6 years ago. So she's, several years, months, and weeks ahead of the game. You're blessed. Amen. Well, that's good to hear, Paula. Someone else. And you did a good job keeping Matt and Kira behaving in church. I want to thank you for that. Yeah, Brandy. Oh, really? Tell that poor old guy. Sorry about that. Really? Well, they've been remodeling the house and stuff, so Randy Sauger, we need to keep Randy in praise. Good, me too. Good guy, so we'll keep him in prayer. Anybody else? How's your dad doing? Is he? Okay. Okay. But it wasn't cancerous or anything, so. Okay. Good deal. Anybody else? All right, if you love the Lord, say amen. Y'all have a great week, and we will see you next Sunday. Let's bow our heads for prayer, and we'll go home, and let's see. Billy, pray and dismiss us. Would you please? You. Yeah. Yeah.
Lord, we just want to say thank you for having the opportunity to gather together on the road. Thank you for having the family. Ask you guys to go home safely.
Ma'am. That's right. Amen. Amen. You're dismissed. Bum, 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 bum.